Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilma Seita. Let's go. Hi, lovers. Oh my goodness, it's so good to connect with you today. I'm recording this episode in the most beautiful, magical pre-Christmas period, and we have lots of snow here. In fact, it's actually snowing so beautifully right now at the time of the recording of this episode, and I have many candles and Christmas fairy lights, have a nice cup of warming spice tea, and it's just so cozy. So, before I go into today's topic, I just wanted to thank you all. I actually had really heartwarming moments thinking of you in the past couple of weeks. And for those of you who are Spotify users, you know what Spotify Wrapped is. And they also do a podcast edition of what is called Podcast Wrapped, where basically Spotify would add all the numbers and statistics, and I'm not usually one to check the stats, but I did this time. And the reason why I'm sharing this today is because I actually learned quite a lot of interesting facts about you lot. For instance, there are people from 45 different countries listening to the Holistic Career Change podcast. What? I love it. I love that this is such a welcoming and international community, and also it just goes to show how no matter where we come from, no matter our socioeconomic, our cultural background, these core questions of who am I? What am I here to do? Are pretty much universal. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing my work with those who need it. Just thank you. My heart is so full of gratitude. You're the best listeners, and I just love you. That's all. So this is the last episode of the year for those of you who are listening to it in real time. And as you know, the end of the year can be a very celebratory time. Or the opposite. It could be bittersweet and triggering, especially if the year went by quickly and we're just hit with this realization that we're not where we'd like to be. I had a couple of my clients ask me about New Year's resolutions and whether I set them for myself. And my answer was, no, I don't actually do that anymore. I am emphasizing anymore. I do have plans, I do have ideas, I do have visions, but they're all just an extension of my daily life and my daily practices that I'm committing to, the dreams that I'm working towards, and just the person that I'm becoming. And they are all morphed into this one beautiful symphony of life and work. I have absolutely nothing against setting yearly goals, by the way, and if that feels good to you, right, do it. However, what I found, or where I used to be myself some time ago, was that I'd set a lot of unrealistic goals for the year, hoping that the coming year would be somehow just magically more fruitful. And then I'd find myself disappointed at the end of the year. And that cycle repeated year in and year out. It did not feel good to me. It was stressful, and it used to make me dread the holiday season because it signified yet another reminder of what I had not achieved. Gosh, now that I think about it, it breaks my heart a little. I was definitely using this, what could be a potentially beautiful practice, against myself. And I'd love to know where you guys are at with it. Do you set your yearly goals? So if you ask me what's changed for me, first of all, obviously, the main topic that we talk about on this podcast, it was finding an aligned path for myself. It is just a game changer, and it changed the way my energy flows and how much space I have to just get things done versus procrastinating on them. Another big puzzle piece that changed was I got really good at making decisions. If I get an idea, if I have a wish, I just evaluate it quickly and make a decision whether to pursue it or not. And then I just start working on it essentially right away. I do not waste much time on indecision, barely at all, unless, of course, there are exceptions, unless it's an idea that needs some space to be birthed and fleshed out. I then put it on my nightstand, figuratively speaking, and I let it brief until it comes into form. And when I realized that was a skill, making decisions that I had started consciously practicing, and when I realized just how much time and energy it saved for me from going back and forth and drowning in indecision and getting stuck in that miserable maybe between a yes or no, I was floored. So today, as opposed to us evaluating the year or setting New Year resolutions, what I want to talk about is making decisions and how to become really skilled at making aligned decisions for you. I find myself coaching on this a lot, and obviously it's extremely applicable to this context that we're talking about, which is committing to a new career path and being able to make a decision and stick with it when you find something that feels aligned for you. But honestly, this skill of being able to make aligned decisions is applicable to every area of your life. Because all day, every day, if we were to observe yourself, all we do is either make decisions or avoid making decisions. So you don't have to wait till the new year to start committing to new things. You can listen to this episode, use the tools, the prompts, the strategies that I'll be sharing with you today, and just start your new year now. I find this endlessly exciting. You can literally get ahead by starting early. You don't even have to wait for January 1st. And if I were to summarize, I would say that there are, generally speaking, two groups of people when it comes to decision making. We have a group of people who are those impulsive decision makers. Once they feel a resonance, they instantly make a decision. They don't usually have any decision hangovers. They don't mull over or have regrets about possibly making the wrong decision. They essentially come, they see, they conquer, and they move on to the next one. That's how they usually move through life. And then we have the second group. And these are the ones who are often more indecisive. A lot of the times they are tired themselves of being indecisive. They go back and forth on decisions. They do not trust themselves to make the quote unquote right decision. And they are driven by this unconscious belief that there's always a right or wrong decision to make. And they're so fearful to make the quote unquote wrong decision. This pattern, by the way, especially when it comes to like chronic indecision, comes from learned childhood behaviors, just like everything else. For instance, when no matter what we said, did, or decided when we were small, we could never win, meaning that there were consequences no matter what, whether we did something or did not do something, say something or did not say something, there was always a consequence that was usually negative. That affects how we make decisions now and our avoidance to make any decision. Or this could be a result of us growing up in environments where there were a lot of weight placed on the, again, quote unquote, right ways of being, performing, or achieving. So for example, if your father placed high importance on your grades or how you behaved in public, so every time, say you performed well at school, you would be praised and received your validation because doing well at school was quote unquote the right type of behavior that got rewarded with positive reinforcement. When you did not get good grades, you did not get that reinforcement and you made it mean that something went wrong or you did something wrong. And this is how we usually first learn that there are rules around what is right and wrong. And then we could spend the rest of our lives seeking to find the right and wrong rules to follow. So if you relate to this latter group, you could ask yourself, are you addicted to being right? can be a triggering question. Are you addicted to being good? What is being good to you? What does it look like? And what do you make it mean about yourself when you don't stick to these unwritten, invisible rules? These are some juicy questions to ask yourself. Now, as per usual, the sweet spot when it comes to making decision is in between these two extremes. We want to retrain ourselves to be clear, intentional, strategic, yet aligned decision makers. We want to be clear. We want to be able to make a decision pretty quickly, but we also need to know how to make that decision in line with our values and our truth. And this is what this episode is going to be about, guiding you to stay and camp in that beautiful middle between the two extremes. I honestly, personally had to spend some time retraining myself to get more intentional when making decisions. And honestly, no matter which group you resonate with, the first or the second, regularly practicing decision-making muscle is an important skill. And you can get better at it through practice. And on the contrary to some of the beliefs, you being indecisive is not part of your identity. Because I hear people say that a lot. Oh, you know, this is just who I am. Just never been good at deciding. And they kind of joke about it. My question usually to these people is, how does it feel when you believe this story about yourself, that you're not good at decision making? And why would you say that if it doesn't feel good to you? Why would you reinforce that pattern? If you believe you're not good at it based on some sort of historical data and proof, that is not even valid anymore because you live in the present and you're going to the future. You literally disempower yourself from learning how to become better at it. So please stop saying that if you're saying that to yourself or other people, okay? Here's a new thought that I want to offer you to cultivate. I'm becoming better at making aligned decisions. So much fun. You could believe that about yourself. I'm becoming better and better every single day at making decisions. And the reason why I talk about this in the career change setting is because your success, and I use the word success loosely, whatever success means to you, and I always invite people to redefine it for them, your success in a new, fulfilling, meaningful, purpose-driven career or business will quite literally depend on your ability to make a decision regarding the new path you're about to commit. It all comes down to that decision and that commitment. Because even if you have plenty of evidence right in your face, flashing signs, flashing neon signs confirming that whatever you found is the right direction for you. And as I mentioned before, in my practice, I usually spend time going through my client's blueprint to get important data points and clarity on what aligned career path looks for them and how it's related to their why, right? So we usually do a lot of legwork at the beginning to be sure that whatever direction they're choosing is definitely for them. Even when they have that abundant proof, if they have not practiced making decisions, there will be a part of them absolutely terrified to fully commit and go all in. They usually will doubt this evidence. They will doubt themselves. They will doubt their ability to follow through. They will likely feel overwhelmed. And then the most common coping mechanism could kick in for them. They may pause, stall, take a step back, or even go back to the old familiar ways or the old job, all because they didn't feel confident in making a decision and sticking with it. That's how important this skill is. And I do not want you to be that person. I want you to find your sparkly, purposeful path of alignment. And I want you to have an ability to make a decision and go for it, show up for it, and feel good and reassured while you do that. That's available for you. Or sometimes, say, people will reach out to me in this indecision about getting help with their career change journey, whether it's working with me or with a therapist or any other practitioner. And I can see they're crippled with indecisiveness and they sometimes end up just going back and forth plagued by this fear-based thinking. So if you are one of those people, this one is for you too. Listen to the rest of the episode, work your way through the exercises that I'm going to give you so you wouldn't have to go back and forth and waste your precious energy and time on not knowing. This process is also, by the way, that I'm going to share with you, it's not just about convincing you to say yes to scary new things that take you out of your comfort zone. It's honestly about you knowing how to tune in, evaluate, and just make a clean decision. Whether it's a yes or a no, it really doesn't matter. It could be a decision to make a decision later. That's also a good decision. It just has to be a clear decision that you are on board with, because that closes those open energy loops of spinning in maybes, and it's just too expensive to live there. I feel like this skill of making decisions, for some reason, gets often overlooked or just taken for granted. And honestly, it could be, because a lot of the time not making a decision right away does not have immediate consequences. It does, however, have eventual, long-term, sometimes dramatic, tragic results. Not making a decision is a decision. That is you deciding to stay in indecision, to indulge in indecision. This down the line will result in missed opportunities, in regret, and just in general prolonging your journey. Because when you choose to stick to indecision, you are losing momentum. You can't make the most out of those cumulative wins that you get by showing up. You just stop taking steps forward. And sometimes people will say, listen, I just need more time. However, time is often just making it harder for you to move from the stuck point. And overall, it just drains so much energy. Not being a yes or a no, it's an energy leak. And so many people are walking around with delayed decisions in the brain, years of delayed decisions. But when we make a decision, we release the energy and we build that personal power. I know a lot of you have experienced this. If we avoid making a decision, a lot of the times the universe, the life, the God will make a decision for us, right? We will get ill, accidents will happen, circumstances will change, and suddenly we find ourselves like we're being dragged by the hair to a new situation because we stayed stagnant for too long. The universe, if those of you who have this similar belief system as I do, the universe is built upon the principles of growth and expansion. When we stall, we don't serve the purpose of the universe. It will continue evolving and will take us with it. We can't put a pause on life, right? And you've probably seen this yourself many times. If you're not being proactive, some other people will make a decision for you. And then we get frustrated, like, ah, how could he do this? It's because you were not taking your power. You were not using the God-given power and your free will to make a decision. So my hope is that at the end of this episode, you will believe that making decisions can be easy and it's not elusive or scary at all. And the final note before I get into my tips and advice that I have for you is that I do want to send a lot of compassion to those of you, especially who've struggled with decision making. I know that indecision and staying in that uncertainty can be so painful. I know that consciously many of you do not want to be experiencing it, but yet you are living in that limbo state and you feel stuck. So lots of love and lots of compassion, because I know it's a lot of the times a compulsive reactive behavior, and that's a very old pattern that a lot of us live with. Okay. Let me move to the tips and practices and prompts and reframes I want to share with you today to help you become a better decision maker. I have 10 for you, okay? If you are driving and you're listening to this, I really would advise you to go back, like still listen to the episode, but then come back to it with your journal and a pen. And I really literally want you to pause the episodes and write your answers down. you will get much more clarity if you actually take the inner content, the thoughts out of your head and put them on paper, because that allows us to create distance. I said that many times, but I want to repeat that. So do follow along with me, okay? So the first step, first of all, we really need to spend time unpacking the situation around which you need to make a decision. So just pick a decision in your mind right now, okay? Just have that example in your head, and I want you to use that as a case for the tips, for the strategies that I'll be sharing with you. Use that as an example, okay? Because here's the thing, there's always maths or facts around whatever decision you're faced with, and then there's drama around it. And usually we're so overwhelmed by the drama of the decision, we can't even clearly evaluate the facts. So that's the first step always. List what are the facts of the situation. And when you're done with listing those neutral facts, list the drama around it in a separate list. And when I say drama, I mean your fears, your reservations, your imposter syndrome, your limiting beliefs, so on and so forth. In other words, these are all the thoughts that you have about your facts or those neutral circumstances. So for example, let's take me as a case study, as an example. Years back, when I decided to pursue coaching as an aligned career, these were my facts. Firstly, I was moving from finance and corporate into coaching. And I was moving from being employed to running my own practice, okay? Another fact was I had no prior experience in the field, which meant that I had to look and choose an aligned coaching program and get certified, okay? Another fact was I was not going to quit my stable job, and I had to build a coaching practice with a steady income on the side. And another fact was that I needed to spend time in my mornings, in my evenings, and in my weekends studying for and practicing for this new career that I was building. All facts. So these are some of the facts, not all. Some of the facts, right? Notice, completely neutral. There's no drama around it. Now, let me tell you what was the drama that I had about it all. Okay? So if I had done this exercise back in the day, I would have created a separate list and listed all of my fears. So first of all, I had this fear, what if it never works? You know, this world was so unfamiliar to me and I didn't know the rules. Literally, that was the thought I had. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know the rules. I had a fear that everyone will think that I completely lost it for leaving finance and moving into coaching. I legitimately thought people will think I am crazy, okay? That was a big piece of drama that I had. One of the thoughts I had was, what is coaching anyway? What is coaching? It's such a new profession. No one will take me seriously. Another thought I had was, I know I enjoy helping people and I'm aware of my blueprint and I know this is an aligned path, but what if I need to change my mind? What if something will have to change? What if my circumstances will change and I will not be able to do that anymore? Right, that was my fear. Something would shift. Another very persistent thought I had, I have no idea where to start. And then I had a thought or fear, like, I don't know how long it will take me because I really wanted to change ASAP because I was so unhappy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And if I had allowed my drama to take over, I would have 100% delayed enrolling for coaching certification, getting my training, getting my experience. I would have 100% delayed leaving corporate, and I would have definitely not sacrificed my free time to consistently work on my new craft. No way. I would have had a million of excuses why I could not study for a test, why I could not show up for practice sessions, and I would definitely not be here talking to you. You can bet on that. So the first step for you is to list your facts and then list the drama separately. This will give you clarity and a better vision. Like I said, do it in writing because it can get convoluted in our heads and then the drama usually colors over the facts and then we're back into spinning and indecision again. right? So with my example, now that I had listed all of the facts and I saw the drama, I could focus on reframing and working on my drama by introducing new empowering beliefs and still continuing to take the action on the facts that I had listed, right? Okay. Number two. The main reason you may be fearful to make a decision is because you're afraid of the consequences of your decision. And you probably have a lot of unexamined thoughts, fears, and beliefs around the consequences. So the next step for you is to get super clear what the consequences of making this decision are. What are the consequences that I'm afraid of? Again, super granular, get super specific, list them all. What am I afraid will happen if I say yes to this decision and commit to it? Ask yourself. This is such a good question to ask. So going back to my example, these were some of the consequences I was afraid of. I was afraid to risk my financial future. I was afraid of losing reputation. I was afraid of wasting time and money. And again, I probably had so many more. I probably could have added like 30 more back in the day, but I simply can't recall now. I just don't remember what I was catastrophizing about. But these are probably, you know, one of the main ones. Now, this is a very important next step. So please follow along. Now that you'd analyze what consequences you're trying to avoid by making a decision, I want you to ask yourself, what will be the consequences of not making the decision? What will be the cost and risk of not committing to this decision? Meaning, what is the opposite of that decision? So again, to give you a better understanding, for me, not committing to coaching would have meant that I was staying in a career I was so painfully misaligned with. And frankly, at that point, I hate it. I just hated it, right? It meant that I was not trying and not even giving me a chance to dabble into a super interesting, exciting career path that I felt like my whole being was pulled towards to, and I would have never known if it was for me. I would have lived with regrets. What it also meant, not committing to that path and saying no to coaching, would have meant that I would be continued to suffer from these severe effects on my mental, emotional, physical health that I was already experiencing by staying in a corporate, right? And I almost knew that they were going to get even worse had I stayed. And frankly, what it meant to me was just leading an unhappy, soulless life, living for the holidays and the weekends. That, to me, the consequences of not making a decision to pursue coaching were much more painful than choosing to get over the resistance that I felt around saying yes to coaching. This reality was much scarier to me. So what are your consequences of not making a decision or saying no to a choice that you have? List them all. Number three. Now we're going to move into different practice. Now I invite you to spend some time feeling the feelings that arise around both of these consequences. So spend time with the emotions that arise when you think about saying yes to a decision. Give it unconditional presence, right? Go through that feeling practice. Sometimes it's referred to as emotional vipassana, meaning I allow all of these feelings to come up within me. I don't narrate them. I don't label them. I just allow them to be and roam freely in my body. All I need to do is observe them and stay present, unconditionally present. Because these fears of consequences are actually linked to our childhood wounds. And the healing and the release will happen when we treat them in the way that adults in our lives could not treat them or treat us. That is without judgment and with unconditional love and acceptance. A lot of us didn't get that. So while you do that, while you open yourself up to these emotions, perhaps even some memories will resurface around the original wound or a scenario when this fear to make a decision was born. And it's safe for you to welcome it all. It's safe for you to allow it to be. And this is exactly how healing and integrating happens over time. The more we allow ourselves to face these, the more we do it, the cleaner our vision becomes. And the consequences that you are so afraid of right now, they will start feeling more neutral. So my question to you is, what comes up when you feel these associated feelings? And do this practice for both, for saying yes to this decision and saying no to a decision. What comes up? Okay. Number four. This is the one that a lot of us avoid, but it's such a good one. I want you to go to the worst case scenario intentionally. When we are faced usually with these decisions, we will exude so much of our energy resisting to think about the worst case scenario. We're so fearful to experience failure or feel like a failure. So a good practice is to actually go into the worst case scenario willingly. Don't resist it and ask yourself, what would happen if everything I'm afraid of actually comes true? If I say yes to this decision, I commit, and the worst scenario comes true. List it all. Again, go there. You're safe. We're just exploring. Go there and then spend some time problem solving for each of those fears and each of those scenarios, asking yourself, okay, what would I actually do? What resources would be available for me should this actually happen? So in my example, one of the fears that I had were around finances. And I literally told myself, if it comes to the worst case scenario, I can always go back to corporate. Have my education, I have my experience, I can leverage my skills to continue earning money. I wouldn't have to starve. I can still pay my bills. I also had made a decision to not quit my transitional job until I had steady money coming in from coaching. So I knew that I was always going to be strategic and have my own back. If, however, all of that failed, I also had thought of like backup plans for myself, like getting a loan or going back home and staying with my mother to cut my expenses. My brain really didn't like that, by the way, but it was an option. Let's be real. It's always an option. I had come up with so many opportunities for me that if the worst case scenario came true, I was gonna be okay. And that soothed me immensely. I did that with every single fear I had, and I really invite you to do that as well. And do so in writing to show your brain that your worst case scenario is not as bad as the drama in your head is trying to convince you right now. Working through that, by the way, will also help you regulate your nervous system. So you don't go into that automatic fight and flight survival mode, which I've spoken about so many times on this podcast. It can get extremely overwhelming and keep us in the paralysis mode. So if you spend time with these questions and practices that I've just shared with you, you will then make some space and get clear on what you actually want. And from that place, you can get busy creating it. Whether it's committing to a new career, hiring help, making investment, buying a property, going all in on the new relationship, committing to a new lifestyle, so on and so forth. Facing the resistance will help you make a decision. Okay. Number five, I want to offer you a reframe. You need to remember that there are no right or wrong decisions. That simply does not exist. There are only decisions that you make right. And you can't get life wrong. It's impossible. It's all a matter of perspective. And here's the wildest thing. What makes something a wrong decision is only you deciding that that was a wrong decision. Isn't that crazy? Like, there are no wrong decisions unless you decide that something was wrong. And I just encourage you not to do that ever to yourself. There's no way and no scenario in which that will serve you. All you need to do is simply make a decision from a place of alignment. And especially now, if you did steps 1 to 4, you would have already cleared a lot of resistance that was clouding the way. And then you fall in love with your reasons for whatever decision that you make. That's all there is to it. I often ask my clients to mind the reins for why this new career that they're deciding to commit to, why this decision is their favorite. Like, what are all the reasons why they love it for themselves? And they come back so surprised, usually with really long lists of realizations of why they already believe that the decision or a new career is such a good fit for them. And that just continues to reinforce and strengthen their commitment. So I really invite you to do that too. You can't take a wrong turn because it's all about lessons and growth. When you make a decision, you can also always change it or update it. I share this with my clients a lot. When I started coaching, I first started as a general life coach. That's what I knew that was available. And with time, it became clear to me that career change purpose was my job. So I had to give myself permission to just pivot slightly without making it mean that I had made the wrong decision initially. Because there was no way for me to know when I had just started that this would be my niche. There's no way. I needed to take those steps and experience it for myself. And that is exactly how the journey usually unfolds for many of us. We launch, we try things, we collect the data, we evaluate, and then we make the next decision. For some reason, I have no idea why, there is a lot of stigma around this reiteration of the process. We are so conditioned to think that we should just know all the answers ahead of time. It's just not realistic. So you will never be trapped by a decision. Whatever you make, you're always free to change your mind because you're not a tree. You can move. Okay. Number 6. I call it a pro tip. I don't really like to call it pro tip. It kind of gives me bad associations with some of the marketing out there that I don't like, but whatever. Before making decisions, make sure that you regulate yourself. Okay, because to be able to access your prefrontal cortex, which is a part of your brain that can make long-term strategic decisions for your future, you need to make sure that you have a regulated nervous system. You need to ensure that your inner resource bank is full. And just a reminder, when we talk about inner resources, we mean rest, hydration, food, movement. You need to check in that all of that is at an optimum level. And also you have to make sure you're not trying to make a decision and access your cognitive function when you are emotionally triggered. Because it just won't work and your thoughts and your bodily signals will just end up confusing you. So make sure you're regulated before tackling decisions. And when I'm saying decisions, I mean those more important long-term decisions. Number 7. Speak to your body. Don't forget to tune into the wisdom of your body. What is a visceral response when you think about going for something versus withdrawing? When you think about this new career and drop into your body, what does it feel like? Is it expansive? Is it tingly? Is it warm? Is it an open sensation? Or does it feel like a constriction? What is the message that your body is sending you? Is it a yes? I always tell my clients, our mind is programmed, conditioned, primed, hacked in so many ways that sometimes it's so hard to discern what is ours and what is not, what is our truth and what is not our truth. But our body cannot be hacked, and it's often the seat of our truth. Number 8. Another prompt to help you with decision, especially when you find yourself stuck between two decisions and both of them feel scary to you. Ask yourself, what is the third option? This is, by the way, one of my favorite questions ever, because so often we are in between the two options, and the options that we usually pose ourselves with makes us feel like we're stuck between a rock and a hard space. And I offered this coaching actually to someone who really wanted to work with me. And at the same time, she expressed that she really wanted to save up some money. And she felt very stuck. So I asked her, what is the third option? How can you have both? What if you could keep the savings and invest in coaching and find that aligned career path for yourself? Because when it comes to money, sometimes, especially when it comes to money, we tend to think about resources of, you know, our financial commitments from this scarce perspective, because there is just so much money I have access to and it's limited, so I need to be responsible with the allocation. And it kind of makes sense, and it's true for many of us. But when we focus on that, we then completely close the door to our resourcefulness, creativity, to those inventive, out-of-the-box thinking parts who usually have a lot of solutions and ideas, who know what the win-win scenario could look like for us. And there's a lot of possibility around us at all times if we politely ask our brain to look for it. So what is a third option for you in this decision that you're faced with? Number nine is kind of like a lot of different questions that I'd love for you to find answers to. And they are sort of in line with what I already shared. But sometimes just a differently phrased question or a different wording will help us access different answers. So work with me on that one as well. Okay. So the first question, would you make this decision if the results you were after were guaranteed? Where you made the decision and you knew that if you make the decision, you will get the results that you're after. And depending on what your answer is to that, ask yourself, where are you not believing that the results are guaranteed? Because that's a very important piece of information. Where are you not believing? Where are you lacking belief that the results could be guaranteed? And who do you think is responsible for creating these results? How do you think these results are created? Oh, that's a good one. Another question. What is the opportunity cost of this decision? If I'm saying no to this opportunity, what am I saying yes to and vice versa? So in an example I just shared of someone wanting to work with me, if she's saying no to working with me, she's saying yes to keeping her savings. She's saying yes to continuing to find her path on her own, and so on and so forth. If she's saying yes to working with a coach, she's saying yes to finding clarity, to understanding what alignment could look like for her. She's saying yes to getting help with transforming her limiting beliefs and so on and so forth. But then she would have to say no to immediate savings, right? And by the way, there's no right or wrong opportunity cost. Simply at different times, we will favor different things and we need to really honor that. But we need to have clarity on that. Another question, which is such a good one. What emotions are you trying to avoid by saying yes or by saying no? As you know, everything we do, everything we want, everything we don't want in life is all about creating a feeling we want to feel or trying to avoid a feeling that is uncomfortable. That's all there is to it. Really, really, if you analyze everything we do or don't do, it's about a feeling we're trying to create or avoid. And if there is nothing we will be unwilling to feel, there will be nothing we will be unwilling to do. I probably said that a million times already on this podcast. So for instance, someone who wants to find a fulfilling career is seeking to feel meaningful, abundant, free, authentic, right? And what I often see people avoid to feel in these situations is the feeling of uncertainty, because they know that if they actually commit to finding a path, there will be a time throughout the process they will feel uncertain. They are avoiding to feel the fear, right? A lot of these uncomfortable feelings that they're avoiding to feel, so they would rather get stuck in indecision. But indecision also does not feel good either, by the way. Like, so saying yes would mean massive possibility and opportunity for change and growth, at the cost of feeling the scary emotions. That is the cost that we pay for change. I'm willing to feel those uncomfortable emotions in order to be able to create magical things in life. And the only way we can commit to change is by feeling a little scared and continuing to take action anyway, right? A lot of us indulge in way too much confusion. We spend way too much time saying, I don't know, and then we leave ourselves feeling disempowered. Okay, another question, which also is one of my favorite. Oh my God, all of these are my favorite. So, in 10 or 20 years from now, what does your future self would say about this decision that you're currently faced with and why? What do you think your future self would do or say to you when it comes to this decision? Ah, oh, such a good one. And finally, which decision will move you closer to who you want to be in this world, with who you want to be represent? Is it committing to the decision and saying yes to whatever decision you're faced with, or saying no? Which one will move you closer to your authentic self? And number 10, the final two tips that are actually very practical and very simple, but do not underestimate them. So, if it really comes to it, okay, I mean, I still urge you to do all the work that I've just shared with you, but if it really comes to it, flip a coin. Hear me out. My client Yvette, who, by the way, I had on my podcast, it was the previous episode. If you haven't listened, oh my goodness, you have to go back and listen. It was such a beautiful episode. So she told me that once when she had to make a decision between a couple of jobs, she flipped a coin. She asked her partner to flip a coin. And when the coin was up in the air, before it even landed, she so clearly heard herself say, oh, I hope it's going to be tails or heads. I can't recall it once. Basically, she instantly knew when the coin was up in the air that she wanted one particular job more than the other. And it became very, very clear what she actually yearned for, but she hadn't done the clearing work. She hadn't cleared the resistance and the drama, so she couldn't really see herself clearly for herself. She couldn't really acknowledge that. And the coin allowed her to get clear on that alignment. And another strategy you can use for those smaller decisions, like I've mentioned, if you're chronically struggling with indecision, that stems from your childhood. And sometimes in order to create those new neural pathways and new patterns to strengthen the muscle of making decisions, we will need to get into the habit of making a lot of decisions. So Mel Robbins, I'm pretty sure you all know who she is. She has the 5-second rule. Right? So when you don't want to do something, you basically just count down 5 to 1 and then you launch into getting things done when you're lazy. So it's basically gag and go approach, which I don't mind at all. Sometimes we all need that. So you can use this same for decision making. If you're, say, taking forever to order food from the menu, you just count yourself down 5 to 1 and you make a decision. Doesn't even matter what you choose. You're probably going to enjoy it. Or you're not sure which toothpaste to pick and you spend 30 minutes reading the labels at the store and you get frustrated with yourself, count down to 5 and pick. Your system needs to start learning and you need to start integrating that it's safe for you to make decisions and that there's no right or wrong decision. So there you have it. 10 ways in which you can approach decision making. Mix and match those approaches. Start with the easiest one or start with the hardest one. But if you're making a decision that feels, like I said, important or it would have long-term consequences, go through all of these 10 suggestions. And I promise you at the end of it, your decision will be super clear and you'll even be excited about it. Whatever you do, just stop living in those miserable maybes. Come back to this episode time and time again if you need to, because every time you come back, you'll probably hear different parts and different parts will resonate. And just remember that we did not come here to this planet, to this experience, to be always comfortable. Let's all get uncomfortable and make some decisions. And at first, it will totally feel scary if you're not used to doing that. You will totally feel like an unsupervised child in a candy store. And that is exactly what it should feel like when you are getting accustomed to making decisions, believing in them, and sticking to them. Remember, decision will always propel you forward. Without an exception, you're learning, you're collecting the data, you're taking more action, and you grow so much faster than if you were holding back and you were avoiding to make decisions. You guys, making decisions can be so much fun. And also, it will save you insane amounts of time and stress and energy. So I really hope you're sold on it now. I'm wishing you all the happiest, the coziest holidays. And I hope you have the most magical time with your friends and family. And I'll speak to you in the new year. Bye. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you'd like to take this work further and have my one-on-one support in changing careers using my easy holistic process, head over to the show notes and book your consultation call to be added to the waiting list to work together. Can't wait to meet you.